and welcome to Candidly Single Mom. I am your girl, Janine, and I am so super excited to come on today because I have a special guest, one that I had to pull her arm just a little bit in order to get her to come on, but I'm so glad that she said yes. This is my high school friend, or my friend that I've known since high school. We are down like four flat tires, and I am so excited to have her on. She's a fellow single mom, probably a little more experienced than I am, but let me just introduce her so you guys can hear her voice. So it is Lateria. Lateria, hello.
Hello.
So glad that you're here.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
I am so glad that you said yes. There is power in the yes. Can I get an amen?
Well, amen.
So I know that I wanted to bring you on and wanted you to really share your journey as far as being a single mom. One of the questions that I asked you in some of our conversations that we've had is whether or not you like being called a single mom, or if you have an issue with that, or what are your thoughts about that as far as that being like a label or a title. But first, let me just have you kind of share more or less your journey, how you became a single mom, and anything you want to talk about when it relates to just maybe some of the challenges you've experienced as well.
Oh, that's a lot.
I'm sorry.
So let's break the questions down. My journey, I was a single mom actually since the age of 19. So I was a young mom, young and dumb, you know how they say. So I've been a single mom since the age of 19. I have two children. One right now is 23 and the other will be 19 very soon. Mm-hmm. So challenges, there are a lot of challenges. I can honestly, I can probably write a whole book about single parent challenges.
And maybe you should,
but there are lots of challenges. Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. And then, you know, if you want to know anything, any, you know, deeper, then you can just ask me. But you probably, you know, most of my challenges anyways, because I've talked to you since, like you said, in high school, we've known each other since we were like 15, 16 years old, which is amazing. And we still talk. So the label of single parent doesn't bother me at all. I know some people may have like issues with it. They probably have issues with dealing with being a single parent. But as for me, the label doesn't bother me at all. I'd rather be labeled as a single parent than labeled as quote unquote, as some would do for Father's Day and tell me happy Father's Day. Like, I feel that that's disrespectful because I am a woman and I am a mother and I can never be a father. But the single parent, the idea of single parenting is not one that most people would choose to go. Unfortunately, it happens. I mean, there's different, you know, ways you could be single. One of them being my way, like being 19 and being a little dumb and then trying to be dumb again, you know, and doing that. But I have no regrets as far as my children go. Yeah, so the label, it doesn't, you know, I remember once being viewed as a single parent. I actually had like a little small obstacle to go through with that. I was looking for a place to rent for me and my girls. And I remember it was it was an owner. He was renting out his property for whatever reason. And so I give him a call. I'm like, hey, you know, I want to see your property. You gave your key to your neighbor and, you know, and she says that she had it to go in. I want to see it. I want to go in and talk to you about it and things like that. So he was like, sure, that's fine. And he says, will your husband be there? And I was like, no, my husband won't be there. He says, well, can I meet him at some point? And I said, well, sir, I'm not married. I am a single parent. And he literally turned me down without even looking at any background information, any credit or anything. He just said, no, I'm only renting my home to a family with a father in it. And I thought that was kind of, you know, it got to me a little bit. I was just like, wow, like you really didn't think that I could make it on my own with just me and my kids renting out this home. And so, but as far as I, from my perspective, it's not a negative thing because, like I said, there's many circumstances of being a single parent. But as the world views it, some people, they have a negative thought on it. They're just like, you know, they're a single parent, oh, poor them, or, you know, looking kind of down on it. So.
Mm-hmm. And that's my thought as far as how the world views single parents. Excuse me. Sorry about that. But that is always a negative connotation, or there's always a negative association with single parent, and even bias, you know, or like your experience, that person having whatever negative thought, obviously he didn't think that you were qualified to be able to rent a home just because you didn't have a husband or you weren't a complete family. And so that's probably one of the reasons why, for myself, being a single parent, yes, but then really looking at it as a label or as an identifier, or to try to categorize me in a certain place, is always going to lend to something that is negative. And I think that's the reason why it kind of bothers me. But I love how you know, that's kind of like, for you, you're saying, okay, externally people can have this negative thing, but I can own the title because it means something separate from me.
Yeah.
You know, or I can be comfortable because it means something separate from me. But I remember, Lateria, when you were pregnant at the age of 19 with your first daughter, and me coming in, you know, and I think that was probably what we were right out of high school coming into college. And just seeing you navigate being a parent and really trying to gain your footing on, you know, this is out of high school, what are my next steps, and how am I going to raise, you know, this baby? I don't think that I really realized, even if you were struggling at that time, Lateria, I don't know if I really saw that.
There are lots of struggles. As if you're talking a financial, there are tons and tons of struggles. I can say that if I was very down about it, no one really knew about it because it would be something between me, God, and the pillows on my bed or my moments when I'm taking a shower, you know, letting it all out. Because, of course, you don't want your kids to see that. We've had struggles where sometimes I didn't have enough money to make it to the next payday. You know, I just paid up all the bills in the house and things like that. And of course, you know, child support comes in, but perhaps child support didn't come in until the next week. Well, my kids didn't need to know that. They didn't need to know, hey, mommy can only afford to buy us some oatmeal or some noodles, you know. But I remember times where I didn't have, but God provided. And I think that's just a beautiful thing because, I mean, yes, I was being young and dumb and had kids out of wedlock and things of that nature. But, you know, God always shows his mercy and his grace upon us and shows his love. He gives us love. And I those moments, I remember, you know, me saying, oh, well, I only have $20 to put in my gas tank that's going to last me until perhaps I get a child support payment. So I could, you know, provide the food and, you know, things of that nature. And my grandmother would call me. She says, hey, I made a pot of spaghetti. Come get it on your way home. And I'm like, what? Sure. Or my aunt would say, hey, I have some leftovers from last night. Nobody was eating it. Just come and get it. And my kids would never know. They just thought, hey, grandma and auntie, they love us enough. They're just keep feeding us, you know. And God is good in that way, in that manner. Like wherever I lacked, he supplied, and my kids can never say they went hungry. They can never say they went without because we always had. It may not have been what we wanted to have, but we had everything we needed. So the wants may not have been supplied, but the needs definitely were supplied. So I'm very, very grateful for that.
Did you ever feel, or did anybody ever, and this might be a hard question to ask, did anybody ever say anything as a result of you having kids out of wedlock, kids, not being married? Was there any type of negative response to that?
I really don't know. I really don't know. I do remember perhaps like when I was pregnant with my first child, my mom didn't take that so well because she had plans for my life. Which I thought my dad was going to be the one to like chop my head off, but he didn't. That was a little negative, but it was only for a moment, of course, because grandmas, they have that moment for a second and then they're like, "Okay, baby time," I really didn't have anything. The only negative was coming from the other parental. And I think that was like the biggest negative force in my life there. So, as far as
Did
being a
you feel
single
like you
parent.
had, did you feel like you had community or sufficient support as a single parent?
I
Did
did.
you feel like that even like the whole way through? Because now your daughters are older now, but can you honestly say the whole way through that you've had a good village?
I honestly feel like I had a very, very good village. Maybe there were a couple of holes, but they weren't anything that was going to change the course or the mood or the setting or however you want to say it. It was nothing that was going to change what was going on at the moment. As far as support from their father, he was a special kind of guy. So it wasn't as much support there. Even if it's child support is I'm there for you kind of thing. But I do have a father. I do have a mother. And my kids have been blessed to have grandparents. And I've been blessed to have grandmothers. So I remember when I did live in South Carolina and, daycare bills kept rising and it was getting kind of hard for me. And I was trying to actually go to school and work. And I had a part-time job. I think I was going to drive myself crazy there because I had these goals and I just knew I just had to reach them. And I wasn't getting any support from their father. So I would be able to drive down to my hometown where my grandmother is at, represent South Carolina, Waldsboro. I would be able to drive down and drop my daughter off there with my grandmother when she was able because she didn't work and she'd just watch her. Sometimes my mom worked at night and my mom would keep her in the daytime. And my sister, I had a younger sister. My sister's 10 years younger than I am. And I was fortunate enough to, when I did go to school in the evening and when I did go to work in the evening, my younger sister, who was in middle school then, was able to babysit my oldest daughter and it was fine. And then I moved down to Florida. So my move down to Florida was, I had my grandmother here. She actually did a lot, and my aunt. So if I needed, like, if I was at work and I needed someone to pick up the kids because I couldn't do it, I always had somebody that was able to do it for me.
Which is good, and I think, as this is something I've always said, as being a single parent, it's always necessary for us to have a village and for us to have a community of people that we could have to support us and support our kids, because how else would you be able to go to school, to work a full-time job, then have a part-time job, and then raise a little one all by yourself? It's so necessary, and I think that's one of the things for me to be able to have, even though I don't have family members where I live. I'm always trying to find the best way to have community in order for people just to be available for my kids if I'm not available. Because Latiria, there are some thoughts that I've had, and I spoke to one of my cousins about this. I was like, you know what? When I moved away from family, I realized that I could never get really sick. I could never be in a car accident. Like, nothing bad could ever really happen to me because I had nobody around for my kids. Like, what, you know, what will happen to the kids if something were to happen to me? And the fact that I live away, but you didn't have that experience, which, you know, you decided to move to Florida. Was your decision moving to Florida, was it because of your kids? What made you decide to leave South Carolina?
Oh, man, that's a good question. To be very open and candid about it, my decision to leave South Carolina was a moment where I woke up. I think we all have that moment where we're kind of blinded by the things we think we want and the things that we think we need. And we're not actually looking at the broad picture. I'd gotten pregnant with my second daughter, and I just woke up. I was like, wait a minute, what life am I living here? I'm just, you know, I'm not going anywhere. And I'm trying to do things. I'm trying to go to school. I'm trying to take steps forward. But then for some reason, I keep doing the same stupid things over and over again. And I remember having a conversation with my dad. And in this conversation, I mean, I was broken. I was broken. Listen, I said bad words. I didn't care who heard them. It was at one point where I was working at Blockbuster part-time, and I remember putting up the movies, because then it was VHS and some DVD, but mostly VHS. And I remember stacking up the VHS on the wall, and tears are just falling from my eyes. And my manager's like, what's wrong with you, girl? And I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. Leave me alone, you know? Because I didn't like my life. My life was horrible. It was sad. It did not have anything positive going for it at all. Other than the fact that, yes, I was pregnant and there was going to be new life. That was the only thing. And it was a moment where I just woke up and I'm like, is this what I planned for my life? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Because I don't even know who this person is right now. This wasn't the person that I knew way back when. This is someone different. And I didn't like the path that my life was taking. And I remember having a conversation with my dad, and I told him, and I'm broken and I'm crying. And I'm like, and this is the man that I told when I thought I was grown and pregnant, you know, with my, my oldest child. I told him, I said, let me make my own mistakes. Well, he did that. And I remember coming back to him, and it's like basically repenting to him. And I'm like, Dad, it's just a mess. And he didn't know I was pregnant. I didn't tell anybody. I kept it a secret. I was like, I just got to get out of here. I can't take it anymore. You know, I just feel like I'm hanging around the same old crowd. We're still doing the same old thing. Nothing ever changes. And I'm tired of doing that thing. You know, I'm tired of, you know, going to work and working like crazy. And I'm tired of not having support. And I'm tired of making the same stupid decisions over and over again. And I'm just tired. You know, at a point, you got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when I had the conversation with him, Florida popped in my mind, and I was like, I'm going to move to Florida. And he says, that's a great idea. And I looked at him, and I'm like, Dad, are you kidding me? Like, this is a great idea. I was on the phone with him. I was like, are you kidding me? This is a great idea. He said, yeah, you go down there with my mom. He was like, get yourself together. It's a great idea. So I was like, okay. So I called my grandmother, who, you know, I wasn't as close to her, because usually you're closer to your mother's side of the family. And I wasn't as close to her, but I knew her enough to come down, you know, on some summers and things like that. And I called her, and I called her crying. I said, listen, I need a place to stay. I need somewhere to go. She says, come on. And I'm so grateful, because if it hadn't been for grandmothers, like, moms are okay. But it's something about grandmothers, the love of grandmothers, I tell you. But it hadn't been for her, I wouldn't have had a place to come to. And she welcomed me with open arms, and she helped me out as much as she could. That whole decision was, I need to get out of this rut. I'm in this vicious cycle. It just keeps going around and around and around and around. And I'm like this little stupid hamster on this wheel, and nothing is changing in my life, and I hate my life. You know, I'm depressed. I'm crying. Nobody knows these things but me, because I don't let anybody see it, you know. And it's not like when I moved down here, I just, you know, was automatically cured from all of that. But it was a process. It was like slowly coming back to myself, slowly getting off that hamster wheel. It's one step at a time, one step at a time. I was still very down, because, again, I made a mess out of my life. I realized that, you know, But slowly things were coming back, and slowly I was allowing myself to be vulnerable. And it wasn't vulnerability, you know, for people, but for God, I'll say that. And I was allowing myself to actually start to try to develop a relationship with him. Like I once knew, I mean, because I'm not a stranger, you know, my dad's a preacher, and a lot of things I was doing, I knew way better than to do, you know, and things like that. So, and you know, they say preacher's kids are always the worst, but yeah.
Well, but I mean, it was a necessary path, I would say, that you had to go on in order to get to some breaking point for things in your life to kind of transition. And I think that's regardless of whether you're a single mom or not, I think, you know, a lot of people can probably agree with being on a similar path. Like saying that I'm tired of doing the same old thing with the same old people, like my life is not going in a better direction. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's just something us as single parents have to experience. That could be anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. And so I love that. What I hear is the fact that you weren't prideful. Like, you know, sometimes we can make mistakes. Go with me on this, right? We make these mistakes, but then we still hold on to our pride because we refuse to listen to the person that said what was going to happen, that actually happened. We refuse to say, well, you were right, you know, because we're sitting in our pride and we don't want to ask for help, but we're struggling. We're crying every night. We stress. We hormonal. You know, we try to raise these kids. At some points you're just like, throw the whole kid away because it's too much. And honestly, you know, if you're a single parent or a mom anyways, that might be a thought that you had. You might not want to absolutely admit to it, but you might have had one of those thoughts where you're just like, it's just too much to take care of this child. But when I hear you talk about it, Lateria, you did not stay in a prideful place. Like, you went back to your dad and you're like, you know what, this is too much.
Yeah.
And for you to even say, okay, I'm willing to start over, whatever it takes for me to start over, I have to. And that I want to commend you on, because, you know, I think a lot of people just sit in a state of, this is as best as my life is going to get. You know, I know some single moms that this is all that they can't think beyond that. You know, they might even look at their child that's now a child that might be 5, 6, or 10 as a mistake, and might harbor, you know, like, this is, you know, I feel terrible about the decisions I made, but this is what life has given to me. Like, they have no control.
Yeah, I like when you said pride, because I never really thought about it. Mm-hmm. You know, that if I did have like a prideful heart, like if I couldn't allow myself to be broken and to be open at that moment, it could have been way worse. I want to refer back to, because you know me, this is how I do. Proverbs 16:18, and it says, pride goes before destruction, meaning before there's destruction, a man's heart is prideful. Like, and because the man has not humbled himself, he will see destruction. And nobody wants that in their life, you know. Even, you know, for someone who's like, if you're like, Johnny, don't jump off the side of that building, you will surely hurt yourself. And Johnny's like, I won't hurt myself. Well, we know that's pride. But the destruction will be after you fall. What's going to happen? You might break a bone. You might break your neck. You know, there's all kind of things that will happen. And another point that you said that a lot of women regret, you know, the being a single parent, regret getting pregnant and things like that. And I'll tell you, honestly, if it was sin that you were in while you got pregnant, understand that the punishment is not the children. The children are a blessing.
Right.
Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's not life, right? So the children are a blessing. But what comes with that blessing may be what has you down. But it's just to take the thoughts and just say, hey, Lord, you know, I get it. I have to raise these kids by myself because this is what I have set up for myself. The wages of sin is death. You know, so this is what my punishment is because of the sin that I was in. But my children are not the punishment. They're life. Right. And we all know that there's no punishment in actual life, you know. Jesus himself came so that we'd have life, you know. So I have heard that before. I've heard that a lot, where women actually regret it all. Yes. I never regret my kids. My kids have taken me through the ringer, left, right, front, center. Still, because, you know, I have this 18-year-old who's trying to find her way to be an adult, which she's not quite there yet. And I still don't regret it. You know, right. Those are my babies. You know, I remember playing with the babies. I remember giggling, and I remember the laughter, and I remember the joy. And the beauty of it is you could always take those babies and mold them to who you need them to be, who God needs them to be. So even like with family, I look at it like perhaps things didn't go well, you know, or there's some things that I grew up, you know, with, and some things I had to go through. Well, I made very, very certain that my children didn't have to go through that same thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't want them to repeat that cycle. I didn't want them to live in a home like this, or be able, you know, to deal with an issue like that, you know, and try to, you know, not shelter them, but keep them from it, and start my own traditions where we give each other hugs and kisses. Well, when they were younger, right. My kids fuss at it now, but we give each other hugs and kisses, or we'll have family night where everybody sits down and everybody plays a game, and we eat something, popcorn, pizza, whatever it is. And we laugh and we joke, you know, and we even cry together. Why? Because sometimes you just get frustrated with one another because you're occupying the same space, you know? So, and it's not one of those things where you can't talk, shut your mouth, go to your room. You don't talk to me. It's like, you tell me how you feel. I tell you how I feel. Let's all cry. Let's get mad. You're not allowed to go in your room and close the door. And I'm not going to send you to your room and close the door, because that's where the devil's going to play with your mind at. So we're going to do this right here, you know? And I think, like, you know, this is an opportunity for you to start afresh, you know? And then with the next generation, like, my daughter's 23 and she's, you know, wanting to move on with her life and have a family of her own. Well, guess what? Now she's going to look at the things that we did and say, perhaps I didn't like it that way. Let's start a new, you know, a new way of doing things. Or I love the way we did that. I want to continue to do that with my new family, you know? So it's never a regret, honestly. And after I look at it, I had more laughter than I had more tears, you know? Yeah.
And you can say that, right? But you can say that because your kids are older now, and this has been your journey, you know, since they have been known in the earth. You've been pretty much raising them with the help of your village, but as the parent, being really the only parent that's been involved in their life. And I think it's beautiful, you know, for you to say that looking back over your life, there's been more laughter than more tears. Because for any other single mom that might just be in the single mom journey, or their children are younger, and it is overwhelming, because me and you both can attest to it, that it is overwhelming. But for them to hear you say that is encouraging. Honestly, it's encouraging for me. My kids are teenagers. So, you know, I'm experiencing that whole teenage angst, and they know what to do. Their whole life they think they have more knowledge. They think they do. And me having to navigate that, and there are some challenging days more than others, but to know, okay, I can say that for myself, you know, there's been more laughter than there's been tears.
Oh yeah.
Wow, such an amazing conversation with my friend Lateria. We talked about so much stuff, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to listen to part one, to digest everything that we discussed, and to tell you to stay tuned for part two of my conversation with Lateria, as we continue to focus on life as a single mom and everything that goes along with it. So I want to say thank you to everyone that has been on, that has downloaded, that has listened. Hey, if you have not yet followed Candidly Single Mom, please do like it, share it to another single mom that needs to hear these conversations that I'm having with amazing single moms. So again, stay tuned for part two, which which will be next Saturday. And thank you again to all of you who are listening, wherever you are in the world, whatever time it is in the world where you are. Thank you so much, and we will be talking with you all soon. We'll be right back.